Welcome back to the Horse Show, everybody. I'm Rick Lamb. My guest is Karen Scholl. Karen, you just advised adjust to fit the situation. How do you help people do that?
All I'm doing is giving people more concepts to be able to try in different situations. You cannot take a horse and find a formula. I was at a friend's house and he said, "What's the formula for starting a colt?" I said, "You know, what's a formula for raising a kid?
Give them what they need.
You know, what's a formula for a successful marriage?" There is no formula. It's a living, dynamic exchange of ideas and perceptions and a feeling. And I think if I can teach a person one thing, what the Pirelli organization taught me is, if I don't like the result I'm getting, what adjustment can I make? Instead of saying, "Oh, the horse is wrong," or "the person's wrong," or that, what adjustment can I make to be more effective and get a more positive result, or a result that I desire?
You know, the interesting thing about that, what you said is so true. And as you mature with all of this, you realize, you know, Ray Hunt used to say it, and Pat said it. I mean, you adjust to fit the situation.
Right.
That's the safest advice you can give anybody,
and
the most accurate about what the really fine horsemen and horsewomen are doing, is they are adjusting at every moment to what the situation requires. The problem with saying it that way is when you've got somebody who's new to all of this, they're going, "What the heck does that mean?"
Exactly.
You know, can't you help me just a little bit? Give me something specific. And what I hear coming from you is that that's still the overriding principle, but you have to have a whole big bag of tricks and techniques and
strategies
to try. You have to be prepared knowing how to implement various things and try them. So that's kind of where the education comes in.
Yes.
You need to learn how to do those things and practice them and be able to use them, but not be so rigid in your formula that you always try and go down the same path with the same tools and the same way for every horse on every day.
Right.
That you need to become flexible enough about it. Observe, remember, and compare, the famous Tom Dorrance saying, and then adjust to fit the situation. So I think that's wonderful advice. I think a lot of people in the beginning don't find that very satisfying.
Right.
But as they grow,
they
start seeing the wisdom of it and how you always have to be in the moment, engaged in the process, thinking about what's going on, and being willing to try something different.
Yeah.
I had a couple of the questions I wanted to ask you. What do you think, on a personal level, this is looking at you from the outside, is your strength as a teacher?
My greatest strength is that I've been through it, from a recreational rider buying a horse, saying, "What do you feed it?" to where I feel very comfortable in probably most situations, probably not some, you know, wild bucking horse to just get on her. But I could take that horse, given the time, and be able to develop a communication, a respect, and relationship with that horse. So I think because of where I came from, when people come and they're nervous about learning something new, or they feel like they're going to make a mistake, you know what? You are going to make a mistake. Get comfortable making mistakes. I ask people, raise your hand if you learned to ride a bicycle and you didn't crash, because I haven't met one.
Yeah.
You've got to be able to make the mistakes. But once you learn it, it's just like a bicycle. I have not ridden a bicycle for 10 years, but I'll bet you I could get on it.
Absolutely.
And you develop muscle memory that your brain and body never forgets.
How do you deal with the fact that people are worried about getting hurt?
It's not just teaching the horse on the ground, it's teaching the human. So when I teach people how to ask the horse to disengage the hindquarters or move the front end, their hand is in a rein position that they're going to use when they're up on their back. The other thing is that they're developing their feel on the ground. People come to clinics and go, "I don't get this ground stuff. When are we going to ride?" I go, "Well, you know what? You are riding. You're just not on the back of the horse. But everything I'm teaching you to do with your hands, all that muscle memory, is what you're going to use when you're up on the back of the horse."
Interesting.
Yeah. So they build a lot of confidence. I've seen people be really afraid, or the horse is an extreme case, and they'll say, "You know, should I sell the horse?" And I say, "Well, how committed are you?" You know, and they go, "I love this horse." I said, "Then maybe you need to commit to 12 months on the ground before you ride." And they go, "Wow, I wouldn't have thought of that. All my neighbors are saying, just get on him, you know, get bucked off, get back on." That's crazy.
There's a thing that I've called the rush to ride that I think happens with everybody, whether they've had no exposure to horses at all, because that's what is glamorized in the movies. You never see in the movies somebody doing ground exercises with a horse. You see them riding, and that's where the romance and the freedom and, you know, the hair, the wind blowing through your hair and all that comes. But that's like dessert. You need to have your meat and potatoes first, which is foundation training, mm-hmm. which we know mm-hmm. is so much better done on the ground.
Right.
Do you think it's possible to do too much groundwork?
Yes.
What's the situation in which you would say that's too much?
The horse is bored. The horse is ready to do more. But the person sits there and just says, no, I feel comfortable on the ground. I just want to stay.
By more, you mean actually riding the horse?
Yeah.
Do you
yeah.
think it's usually fear that's keeping
usually,
them from
yes.
jumping to the next
yeah.
level?
And, you know, it's not falling. It's, you know, it's that gravity thing. If we didn't have gravity, you know, it wouldn't matter. But, you know, it's that gravity that gets us in trouble.
Well, you know, there's so many things involved in this. And I mm-hmm. I'm fascinated with the idea of fear of riding mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. I've gone through it. My wife's gone through mm-hmm. it. The only way I've found that you are able to reduce it at all is by getting out and actually doing it. But you have to go about it in a certain way. Right. I mean, do you think that people sometimes pick the wrong horse?
I think that there's mismatches. Because I tell you, my most reliable horse I'd put somebody's grandma on is 17-2 Hands. But his attitude is one of the most willing, tractable. You know, he bends like Gumpy. You could bend him and back him up. He's one of the nicest horses. And one of my most difficult horses is a really short horse. And I've had friends, you know, your friends want to ride your horses. And I go, okay, we're going to put you on the big guy, Dejan. And they go, he's so tall. You know, I go, well, you can fall off the short horse or stay on the tall horse.
Yeah.
So to me, it's more of the behavior of the horse, the willingness and the attitude. The less experience a person has, the more experience the horse needs. But again, it comes to attitude. I've seen very experienced horses take advantage of the beginner. My horses, the ones that I've learned on, they're great teachers. I call them my professors. Mm-hmm. They're wonderful to teach because the person's learning and they're very supportive of that person because they go, you should have seen how bad she was here. See, they've been through it. But the horses that I've started and raised, when my level of skill was high, they're very intolerant of the beginner because they go, what the heck is this?
We were past all this.
This stinks. No, they've never felt that. They've never experienced that because my skill level was at
when you started
at a stage that they've never felt the awkward fumbling. That's like saying, okay, Ginger Rogers, you're going to go dance with
Rick
Lamb. Yeah, you're going to go dance with Rick. And she's going to go, you know, I'm
just
used to Fred Astaire.
She's dead, but that's all right.
It's not fun.
No.
See, it wouldn't be fun for somebody like that.
My guest is Karen Scholl. We're talking about horsemanship for women. Now, she rides an Andalusian horse. A lot of good horsemen do. What's the big deal about Andalusians? We'll find out when the horse show continues. I'm Rick Lamb. Stay with us.